Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great Tuesday to you. Despite the rain in central PA, we hope you're having a great one. Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070. WKOK, Sean Carey here, and Steve is there in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Anytime you miss our live shows on WKOK, well, you got a backup plan. You got a plan B. You can subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. What we do is we drop the shows right to your smartphone and tablet after we air them live on WKOK. Then you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. You got access to our show on demand. And you can subscribe on either the Apple Podcast app. So if you have an iPhone, iPad, download the Apple Podcast app. You can search Steve Jones Show there. Or if you have an Android-powered device, a Samsung Galaxy, go to Google Play, search Steve Jones Show there, and get the podcast that way. And also our website, stevejonesshow.com. We have 3 months of shows always archived there for your listening pleasure. And pleasure to be with you again. We have Kenny Albert, the fantastic sports caller, announcer. Kenny did a phenomenal job back in February at the Winter Olympics, doing an amazing job calling game after game after game and knowing all those rosters inside, outside, upside down. And Kenny witnessing history not too long ago with the Vegas Golden Knights in their inaugural season. They will be representing the Western Conference, the National Hockey League, in the Stanley Cup Final. So we'll talk to Kenny at 3:35, and we'll find out who Vegas is going to be playing. It's either going to be Washington or Tampa Bay. Washington on the ice on a mission last night, shutting out the Lightning 3-0, forcing a Game 7 tomorrow night. Winner take all in Tampa Bay. The winner getting the Eastern Conference title and moving on to the Stanley Cup Final, which will start next week on Monday night. So we'll get Kenny's take on the NHL as his duties have wrapped up with NBC Sports, NBCSN, so he'll move on to his baseball responsibilities for Fox. So we will get some baseball questions into Kenny as well. So he'll be then heading to the Diamond, leaving the ice and heading to the Diamond for the next part of his broadcasting schedule. Speaking of our schedule, we're with you live till 5, and then we'll have the Late Day News Roundup with Sarah Benick. And then tonight at 6:30, Phillies on deck. And 7:05 first pitch between the Phillies and the Atlanta Braves. The Fightins are now a half a game out of first place. Great win last night for Philly, 3-0 over the Braves. And tonight you've got starting pitchers Brandon McCarthy. This will actually be his fourth start of the season against the Phillies tonight, middle of the three-game series. And this will be marking Atlanta and Philadelphia playing for the 11th time tonight. Atlanta so far has won 6 out of the first 10. But a great win last night for Philadelphia. 3-0, Nick Pivetta with 7 strong innings. But getting back to Brandon McCarthy, he has been victorious in 3 of those 4 starts. Atlanta over Philadelphia. McCarthy, a veteran right-hander, 3-0, 2.25 ERA. 17 strikeouts in 16 innings against Philly. Philadelphia is now 27-18. Philadelphia just 9-14 against the rest of the National League East. So last night's win was key. could take over sole possession of first place tonight with another win over Atlanta. And the Braves kind of have the same feeling. We were kind of joking about it yesterday. It seems like a Philly-Atlanta, that's been the only, Atlanta's been the only opponent the Phillies have played all year long. Braves manager Brian Snitker said, yeah, when we walked in last night, he said it's like we just left here. Seems like an abnormal amount of time the first couple of months of the season, the same team playing each other. But they say that they see similarities between themselves and the Phillies. Phillies and Atlanta, two of the biggest surprises so far in the 2018 season. Phillies tonight will have right-hander Vince Velasquez on the mound, and he'll be pitching for the fourth time in 2018 against the Braves. But Vince's starts not gone as well as McCarthy's. Velasquez, a 4.89 ERA in seven career starts against the Braves. He has given up 13 earned runs in 12 and two-thirds innings. Surrendered six runs, seven hits in four innings the last time that Velasquez faced Atlanta back on April the 29th. But since then, he has been pitching a lot better. His three starts this month, his ERA is 2.08. Struck out five and gave up only five hits in six and a third scoreless innings last Thursday night against the St. Louis Cardinals. So we'll have that for you tonight on Deck 630. And first pitch, 7:05 with Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson here on 1070 AM. Two veteran coaches had a similar message for their teams on the eve of Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals between Houston and Golden State. Steve Kerr says, it is 0-0. It doesn't matter if we won the last game by 1 point or 41 points.
That's right.
Well, they did win by 41 points on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's true.
They're up 2-1 in the best-of-seven series, and Steph Curry finally woke up in the third quarter.
Yeah.
In Sunday night's game. What was he, 1 of 7, 1 of 8, something like that in the first quarter? But then and finally turned the corner.
Yeah. Hmm. Let me ask. Let's go off script here for a moment. Right. And remember yesterday I was talking about the Asian games and esports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now the WWE just put together a new $1 billion 5-year contract with Fox. Now, that's been reported in sports areas, but in reality, and you may have a different opinion as an audience, Sean, you may have a different opinion, but to me, that's entertainment. That is the same as, and to me, the WWE, even though it's based around an athletic endeavor, to me is the same as 24 episodes of NCIS. I mean, that's what I think it is.
Yeah, there's a couple of different shows that they have. They have the Monday Night Raw show, which is on USA.
Right.
And they also have the Tuesday Night SmackDown show. That's also been on USA, I want to say, the last 4 or 5 years.
And Fox bought SmackDown.
Yeah, it's going to be SmackDown that's going to move over to Fox. It'll be interesting to see what platform they will put SmackDown on, whether they'll put that on FS. I would think they would put it on FS1. Or maybe they would put it on Fox and move it to a different day other than Tuesday. But then again, you may have the people that run WWE that say, hey, no, you're going to continue to air it on Tuesday.
Well, see, to me, that's entertainment. Zero wrong with it at all. It's entertainment based around an athletic endeavor. I mean, the athleticism it takes. I will not for 1 second take away from the athleticism of what it takes to be in the WWE. But it's not a sport. It's scripted. To me, that's a big difference. So let me get to the next part. You know, we got Kenny Albert coming on today, too, so we're going to talk about hockey. Do that, what, 3:35 sound right?
Correct.
Yeah. But the Asian Games in late August, as we said yesterday, will be... we'll have esports in it as a medal event. Are esports sports? Do you consider esports, does, you know, the name says it's sports, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. Are esports sports? Now, I will concede with, in no uncertain terms, that it is a skill. You need to have great skill and dexterity to do this. Would that be fair to say?
Hand eye coordination is key, sure.
Okay. But welding is a skill that takes dexterity and great hand eye coordination. Plumbing takes hand eye coordination, dexterity, thought, and so forth to do. Their skills. So my question is for are esports a sport? Now I say no. To me it's entertainment, and you're going to see more and more esports on TV. I mean, to me, esports on TV is like the World Series of Poker. It's... they used to have an ESPN carried it for years. Pool, billiards. The games. Now, that's what I think they are. But I also think that we're hitting this spot where this generation that's referred to as the millennials probably has marketing people more confused at any time in their careers. And that includes marketing people that are involved in sports. I think they have thoroughly and completely confused the populace. This, not every one of them, but as a group, millennials. How do we get them to the stadium? How do we get them to the ballpark? How do we get them to the arena? How do we get them to watch the Olympics? And I think they're trying to come up with all sorts of different ways to get that generation, that 18 to 34-year-old group, interested in whatever event it may be. Now, to be honest with you, one of the ways, believe it or not, I think that actually might open the door, and I'm not big on promoting this in any way, shape, or form, but believe it or not, is when they get legalized gambling. Let's take FanDuel and DraftKings, for example. FanDuel and DraftKings. Now, Sean, you play fantasy football, right?
Actually, I don't. I quit. It started to drive me crazy. Okay. I played fantasy for about 7 or 8 years, and I quit about 10 years ago. Just fantasy football. And that was it.
Now, the suit does fantasy football, right?
Yes.
Right.
He may do both fantasy football and baseball. I'm not sure, but definitely okay. He's still in the same league that I was in.
Okay. So the Chargers are playing the Raiders, late afternoon game, 4:25. Right. And you have selected Derek Carr for your team. I don't care if you're playing FanDuel, DraftKings, or your local fantasy deal. Are you tempted to tune, and the game's on TV. Are you tempted to tune into the game at least for a few minutes to see how Derek Carr is doing?
Sure, I would be. Yeah, if it had something, if something was riding on the line, absolutely. Especially if it was a DraftKings or a FanDuel, and if I was playing so well and keeping track of the stats on my phone, oh wow, I may have some cash on the line here. Absolutely.
If you don't have skin in the game, you're not in FanDuel, DraftKings, whatever, or it turns out that you are but don't have a single player in the Chargers or Raiders, are you tempted to watch?
Probably not. That would probably make me flip over to probably Red Zone just to keep tabs on all the games, just for fun.
And that's probably for the future generation what it comes down to. Their ability to have a, quote, a little bit of skin in the game. And, see, I've never needed that, ever. I'll watch whatever game. Man, it looks like a good game. I'll watch that. Now, that's me. But my generation grew up with, we were always playing sports. Pick up basketball. Grab bat ball. Group of us go down to the field. We play ball. Didn't have to be, I mean, we played Little League. You know, we played teenager league ball, things like that, or we called senior league ball. Right? We did that, organized, but unorganized. Group of us would just go. Football. I mean, we'd play touch football under the street lamp when it got dark at 4:30 in the evening in November. I mean, that's the way we were. We'd put water down and freeze it in January. Throw in some skates, go over to the pond, play hockey. That's the way we were. And, I mean, how much? I don't see a lot of that these days. I see a lot of organized stuff. I mean, there's no doubt I see organized stuff. But, so it's a different time, different. I mean, that's, you know, and so me, I watch games to watch games. I just like watching the games. I have no stake in it other than the enjoyment of watching it. But it sounds like today's group needs to have some skin in the game in order to really be interested in it. We will take a break. Don't forget Kenny Albert next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And very pleased to bring in one of the best of the best, and that would be Kenny Albert. Kenny, welcome back to the show. It's great to hear you again.
Great to be here, Steve. How's everything?
Everything's going well. I hope everything's well with you.
All good.
All right. Vegas Golden Knights. The Rangers played them twice during the season. They split. And the Rangers won the first one, but Vegas then at home won the second one. What's the difference between the Vegas team that you saw in October and January compared to the one you saw last week?
Well, the team I saw in October was down to their fourth and fifth string goaltender. It's remarkable when you think back, the injuries at that position to Marc-Andre Fleury and then Malcolm Subban. And when they came into MSG, they had gotten off to that great start. They won eight of their first nine games, but goaltending was a huge issue, and somehow they battled their way through. Then when we were out in Vegas in early January, it was a 2-1 game. Vegas won that game, and from what I recall, it was a similar style to what we've seen from them during the playoffs. They were a fast team. They were first on every puck. The crowd was loud and really into the game, and when I was back for the series against Winnipeg, that was the first time I was in Vegas at T-Mobile Arena since that game in January, and it was really a continuation of what we witnessed that night.
Obviously, in doing the Rangers games, you see the effect, especially in his great years, what Henrik Lundqvist can mean for the rest of the Ranger team. What do you see in Marc-Andre Fleury? What does he mean to the rest of the Vegas team?
Oh, he was spectacular throughout these playoffs so far, Steve, and really similar. He was actually on the losing end of one of Lundqvist's best-ever series and best-ever games when the Rangers came back from a 3-1 deficit in 2014 to defeat the Penguins. And I remember Lundqvist in Game 7 in that game might have been the best I've ever seen him play, and Fleury was in goal at the other end. But, you know, you look at what he's done in the regular season, despite missing the 25 games with a concussion, and then in the playoffs, allowing only three goals in the first-round sweep of the L.A. Kings, two shutouts, shuts out San Jose in the first and the last game of the second-round series, and then shuts the door on the Winnipeg Jets, allows only 10 goals in five games. You know, the entire story is remarkable when you look at what George McPhee and his management group were able to do as far as the expansion draft and then acquiring extra players during that time in order to not take other players off teams' rosters. And the Fleury was in the unique position of, you know, having become available because Matt Murray comes up and wins two Stanley Cups, and Fleury was obviously a huge part of the Penguins' playoff run last year as well. But to wind up with a goalie such as Marc-Andre Fleury in Las Vegas and some of the other moves that they made, it's incredible. You know, when you think back, I don't think you could have found anybody that would have predicted more than 20 or 25 wins for this Golden Knights club.
Including the owner, Bill Foley, because he sat down. I just read an article yesterday, Kenny, where Bill Foley said he was talking with James Neal, and he said, look, here's the plan. The plan is I'd like to see us make the playoffs in year three and then fight for the cup by year six. And James Neal, I guess, looked at him. He said, hey, you got your timetable, I got mine. And, you know, because he played in the final last year. When they put the team together, what did you think?
You know, I guess maybe because, you know, we've witnessed other expansion teams through the years, you didn't really expect much. Like I said, 20, 25, 30 wins at the most. But now when you look back at it, the rules were relaxed a little bit for the Golden Knights compared to past expansions because of the $500 million expansion fee. Teams were only able to protect either 9 or 11 players, depending on which formula they went with. You could protect a goalie, 7 forwards, and 4 defensemen, or excuse me, 3 defensemen, or you could protect 8 skaters and 1 goalie if you wanted to protect more than 3 defensemen. So they were basically getting the 10th or 12th best player off every roster. But it starts with goaltending, and by acquiring Fleury, a 3-time Stanley Cup champion, that I'm sure gave the team so much confidence. They were able to sign a coach in Gerard Gallant, who did a terrific job in Florida, finished in second in Coach of the Year voting just 2 seasons earlier, was unceremoniously fired by the Panthers, and from all indications, he's been a huge part of their success. But then some of the other moves that George McPhee made, with Minnesota, for example, the Wild did not want to lose certain players, so they said, well, if you take Eric Halla, we'll give you Alex Tuck as well. So they get 2 guys who had career years for the Golden Knights. Florida, same thing. They wanted to get rid of Riley Smith's contract. If you take Jonathan Marchessault, we'll give you Riley Smith. And those 2 guys wind up on the first line. Columbus. Now, who could have imagined that William Karlsson would have scored 43 goals this year? He had 6 the prior season with the Blue Jackets. But Columbus said, if you take William Karlsson and David Clarkson's contract, we'll give you a first and a second round draft pick. So you really could not have written a movie script with everything we've seen from the Golden Knights. They had 13 players with career highs in points this year. If you look at their group of defensemen individually, you might not think it's among the upper echelon group of D-men in the league, but as a unit, the sum is certainly greater than the parts.
It's one thing to sit there and watch on TV and feel like you're watching a team with speed. How quick are they in person?
They're quick, and the other thing you notice is the sticks. They do a tremendous job with their sticks, whether it's in the neutral zone, the defensive zone, breaking up passes. Then you look at what they're able to do when coming up ice, and their passes are so crisp, and they just play as a team, and they've gained confidence, you know, as this playoff run has gone along. And you know, whether they play Tampa Bay or Washington in the Stanley Cup final, I think you have to give them a pretty good shot.
Okay, you've also been in a couple of great atmospheres. I know Penn State fans like to think they created the whiteout. Actually, Winnipeg did in 1987. Will you give an impression of the two atmospheres, what it was like in Winnipeg, and also then what was it like and how it's been embraced in Vegas?
Well, Steve, I never thought that I would see another arena slash city match what we saw in Nashville last year. But these two have, Winnipeg and Vegas. In Nashville last year, it was tremendous inside the arena, and then you had the thousands and thousands of people out on Broadway watching on the big screens last year during their conference final and then the Stanley Cup final against the Penguins. But, you know, I'll be the first one to admit that both Winnipeg and Vegas. In Winnipeg, you had the whiteout inside the building. They were loud. You had 20,000 people outside the building watching the game on the screens. And then in Vegas, it was similar. I don't think it was the volume of people outside the building, but it was pretty close. And it is just loud in that building. I remember when the Rangers were in January, the head coach, Alain Vigneault, was holding his pregame press briefing downstairs by the locker room. And you're inside, you know, walls and doors. You know, you're certainly not right by the ice, but they were rehearsing some of the pregame stuff, the music and the festivities that go on before the game, and the reporters who were assembled couldn't even hear Vigneault. That's how loud it was, even though we were down in the locker room area.
It's amazing. And it's a gorgeous arena, too. I give them a lot of credit. They just opened it when I went in there to do a basketball tournament. So it's a beautiful place for them
and
to play.
And the pregame show is just spectacular. I'm sure you've seen it with with the night on the ice and what they do with the graphics and you know, the Cirque du Soleil type atmosphere that goes on prior to a Golden Knights game.
All right, now Tampa Bay's got Washington in Game 7. Tampa Bay actually has a lot of former Rangers on it, for example. This has been an interesting series. What does Tampa Bay need to do to win that, and we'll flip it to Washington?
You know, it really has been, Steve, and you're right. Five former Rangers on the Tampa Bay side, and on the other side, you have Alex Ovechkin, who's gone as deep as he's ever gone in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you have to just give him so much credit. Even though he didn't have a point in the game last night, he had a huge effect on that game with some of the hits that he threw and just the emotion and what he brings to that Washington team. And I really think it's a toss-up. You know, on one hand, you have a Tampa team that has home ice advantage, and many coaches, you know, we've heard it in the various sports, in hockey, basketball, baseball, having that home ice, home court, home field advantage for Game 7, you look at the percentages, and it is certainly an advantage for the home team. And Washington coming off the win, you know, they had to play at a desperate level last night after winning the first two and then losing the next three and coming back to win Game 6 at home. We'll see. You know, that's why they play the games. I really think it's a toss-up. On one hand, I'd love to see those five Ranger guys get there, but on the other hand, I have a long relationship with Barry Trotz back to our minor league days. We were road roommates for a couple of years with the Baltimore Skipjacks, so we would also love to see Barry get to a final and win a championship at some point. So I'll put the rooting interest aside and wait to see where I'm going for Game 1 with the Westwood One folks, whether it's in Vegas or Tampa. Vegas gets home ice if Washington wins, and Tampa gets home ice if they win.
Quick personal aside. Obviously, everyone knows who your dad is, and I'm sure your dad had a great influence on, but you have to develop your own style. Was there somebody else beside your dad that was in a mentoring position that you know you took a few things from besides the office? I'll give you a good example of this. You'll like this story. Bill O'Brien's son, Michael, is 12 years old. And he's a left-handed Little League pitcher right now, Kenny, so he's the equivalent of being in Double-A in baseball. So He was throwing a football out in the field one day when Bill was coaching Penn State, and somebody said to him, hey, who taught you to throw a football? And everyone thought he was going to say Bill. And he said, no, Tom Brady. right, true story. And so who influenced you besides Dad?
Well, there were a bunch. I was a big radio listener as a kid. We didn't have cable TV, believe it or not, until I was 18. So a lot of my nights were spent by the radio, and although I love all sports and I'm fortunate to be involved in many of them, hockey was always my favorite as a kid, so I was listening to Rangers and Islanders and Devils games, and for sure Mike Emmerich, Doc, who we hear on the national broadcast on NBC, who was the voice of the Devils back then, Howie Rose, who does a terrific job with the Mets and was the voice of the Islanders for many years, and I also knew them personally due to tagging along with my father to games through the years. I got to know Doc and Howie and Sam Rosen as well. So I'd have to say those three in the hockey world were the guys that I listened to. I also had a radio which picked up Hartford Whalers broadcast and Chuck Caton. Always loves when I remind him that I was listening to him as a kid, one of the best ever with the Carolina Hurricanes now. So I'd have to throw Chuck into the mix as well.
That's because I grew up in the Hartford area, and yes, I grew up listening to Chuck Caton to do the Whalers games, so I know. Hey, Kenny, absolute pleasure. Really appreciate the time. You're always so generous with it. You're one of the best of the best, and we appreciate it very much.
Steve, anytime. Really enjoyed it, and hopefully we can do it again later on in the year.
Sounds great. Thanks, Kenny.
Thanks, Steve.
Kenny Albert, he'll be calling the finals, by the way, on Westwood One. And, you know, I'll give you something that's a quick aside about Kenny Albert. You know, I think everyone knows that I really like people that are obviously great at what they do, but have no ego about it. Kenny has no ego about it. Zero. Zero. It's one of the easiest people I've ever talked to. Great guy. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. He's not the kind of guy, for example, Sean, that says, hey, what are you doing this weekend? And he says, none of your business. I mean, who does that?
I can think of somebody. You can, too.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's interesting. I talked to Jamie about that. She said sales didn't change from yesterday. All right. Just kidding.
Guess who's off today?
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Great to have you with us on the show today. Joe Starkey from Pittsburgh. Talk about the job Neil Huntington's done as the Pirates general manager. Phillies, by the way, look to take over first place in the National League East tonight. And that will be this evening at 7:05, 6:30 the airtime. The Phillies are a half game back of Atlanta in the division after last night's 3-0 win. Rock solid. Phillies are playing rock solid baseball, which is great. Playing really well, as a matter of fact. So, that's coming up tonight, 7:05, 6:30 the airtime. And again, half bank game back. They win, they're in first place. All right, so it's May the 22nd. Believe me, I've said 100 times, they all count. Now, maybe your interest gets drawn in late July and into August, like, okay, but that's, for them to be in first place after what they've gone through the last couple of years, at any point, is impressive.
Yeah, 2 years ago, it was about, I want to say, 24 games in, close to 30 games in, they had a very nice start with 14-15 wins at that point, and then reality set in. So yeah, this beginning has lasted even longer than that, but they're an even much better team, and I don't want to say they're an older team. I mean, they still have quite a few young players on this squad, but yeah, they're coming together very nicely, and especially with Gabe. I mean, you know, with not having a managerial experience going into this season on this level, so far, great start.
considering that he didn't get off to a great start.
Oh, my God, that first week? Oh, I thought they were going to boo him out of the city.
But okay, what did I say, though, after that first week? Let's see where what kind of feel we have for this guy and the team in June. There is some on the job training. Aaron Boone, for example, is sitting there in New York. Aaron Boone's never managed before. So, there's going to be moves that he makes along the way where, of course, you have people around you who are advisors help you out, bench coaches, pitching coaches, whatever. But eventually, at some point, you get a feel for it. Well, Gabe Kapler obviously has a pretty good feel for it. And when you're winning, people forget about all the analytics. They forget about all of it. And the Philly system is proving to have the depth I think people hoped it would have. Because they've made very good acquisitions of getting a Jake Arrieta. Santana at first. I thought he got a bad deal last night when they called that error on him at first base. I thought that was a bad throw by Franco, but that's all right. But Santana's a guy that gets on base. I think it's taken a lot of pressure off of Franco. A lot of pressure. Having some other players around him. I think Nick Williams done a good job accepting his role. Arrieta stabilizes the pitching staff. They've made some good moves. They've done a good job. Now, they're averaging about 25,000 a game. Weather's played a role. It's going to be interesting to see in the summertime what kind of draw the Phillies are. Now, the Pirates are not drawing. The Pirates are actually off to a good start. They're 26-20, which I think has exceeded expectations. They're drawing just over 15,000 a game. 15,000. Is what Michigan State gets for basketball. Seriously. Oh, well. It's interesting how the fans are reacting in different cities. Now, baseball attendance is down across the board. In April, over the years, for the last 30 years, I've averaged over 30,000 a game in April. Baseball averaged 26,000 a game in April. Now, part of that, without question, was weather-related. It was not exactly a Chamber of Commerce April in many areas. Joe Starkey, next half hour, we'll talk with him. Great to have you with us. Our thanks to Kenny Albert, who joined us in the previous half hour. If you missed any of the conversation with Kenny, you can check it out on the Steve Jones Show podcast. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.